Now to a Back to the Future moment in the world of tennis.
That's the way it is for the battle of the sexes, Billie Jean King against Bobby Riggs. And it's hard to believe, but probably more than 30,000 people are in this arena for an all-time record tennis audience anywhere in the world.
Legendary American sports broadcaster Howard Cosell in what was a landmark match in 1973. Billie Jean King won it 6-4, 6-3, 6-3. Now there's a new tennis battle of the sexes with world number one Aryna Sabalenka taking on Australia's own semi-retired controversy magnate Nick Kyrgios in Dubai. That kicks off in the early hours of Monday morning. Tracy Holmes, the veteran sports journalist and host of the Sports Ambassador podcast, joins us to talk it through. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me, Barbara.
Tracy, is this sport or is it a stunt?
Well, I think we have to look at sport a little bit differently to the way we were looking at it in 1973, because time has moved on, social media has come into play, sport has become a huge business, and as part of that business model, we're moving into the entertainment industry. And so these specialty events that appear every now and then, here and there, dressed up as, you know, one title or the other, in this instance, the new Battle of the Sexes, as it's called, is of a different time and a different era and very much plays into that celebrity model.
Now, Aryna Sabalenka is a four-time Grand Slam champion. She's also the world number one. What does she get out of this?
Well, I think what people probably need to understand, and it probably hasn't been explained well enough in all of the various items that have been written about this or the conversations that have been had so far, and that is that Aryna Sabalenka and Nick Kyrgios are very good friends. They enjoy each other's company. They have a bit of a laugh together. They sit under the same management company, which was co-founded by Naomi Osaka, a former world number one tennis player also. And so it's a different kind of relationship. And one of the things that tennis players talk a lot about now is that the grueling intensity of the tennis circuit, which is year long, they get very, very little time off, is that when they play these sorts of tournaments, they're getting a hit out, they're getting a bit of a run. They're entertaining people. There's nothing on the line, but they can have a good time and they can test out a couple of moves that they've been working on. And we know that Kyrgios is, you know, a master move maker when he's playing, when he's not injured, when he is actually competing on the tennis tour. And Aryna Sabalenka is one of the big power hitters of the women's game, probably, you know, overtaking that position that Serena Williams last held.
And Sabalenka's also given one more reason for possibly taking part in this match, saying it's a win-win. This is her speaking to the BBC earlier this month.
This event is going to only help to bring women's tennis on a higher level, because it's not going to be an easy match for him. And I'm just going to be there competing and showing that women are strong and powerful.
What do you make of that, Tracy? Do you think it will bring women's tennis to a higher level?
Well, I think, you know, when we look at the tennis circuit at the moment, especially if we're talking about the majors, and the Australian Open is about to, you know, tip off in a matter of weeks, the winners of the men's and the women's game both earn the same prize money now. So at the Australian Open, it's around $3.5 million for the winner. It's different amounts around the world, but all of the majors pay the same money to men and women. So it's a different kind of battle that they're facing now. And we don't often see in singles, we do in doubles, in mixed doubles, we don't often see a woman taking on a man. And, you know, so in that regard, it is interesting. Also noting that it's being played in Dubai. There were not tennis tournaments in Dubai at the time that Billie Jean King was helping to set up the WTA Tour, which is, you know, a multi-million dollar enterprise now. And so we've got different parts of the world that are rising at different levels, and we've got focuses shifting to different parts of the world. So there are all of those aspects playing into this match, which is very different to the Billie Jean King one of 1973.
And who do you think's going to win?
Oh, look, I really don't care because I don't think it matters who wins in this because, as I said, it's entertainment. It's the business model of sport. It's celebrity. It's playing into Sabalenka's, what, I don't know, 4 million Instagram followers or however many she has. Probably I'm understating that, but around 4 million. And so it brings a different kind of audience to tennis. And I think that's where a lot of sports are looking at expanding. They've already got the hardcore tennis fanatics who will like it or not like it, but they're trying to appeal to a very different market and to bring other people to it. And I think it will succeed in that regard.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm Barbara Miller speaking with the sports broadcaster Tracy Holmes. And Tracy, just before Christmas news that Tennis Australia had reached a settlement with professional players in an antitrust suit. Tell us about that.
Well, this is really interesting, and this has been something that's been building over a number of years. Novak Djokovic, who was the former world number one tennis player, was always really adamant that tennis players were not represented as sufficiently as they should be at the business end of the decisions that are being made in tennis worldwide. So he helped set up the Professional Tennis Players Association, and it is that association that has taken the WTA Tour, which looks after women's tennis, the ATP Tour that looks after men's tennis and the four Grand Slams to court in New York on an anti-competitive behaviour suit. So they're basically saying that when Billie Jean King helped set up the WTA Tour, it was in the interests of women's tennis. And it was the same when the ATP Tour was set up. It was in the interests of the players. But now that has shifted. And it's in the interest of the business of the tournaments themselves, and players are not being represented fairly enough. So that's the heart of it. Few of them have sat around the table to discuss this with the Players Association. Tennis Australia is one of them, or the Australian Open, as the manager of the Grand Slam tournament here. And they've decided that they will be removed from this legal case in America while they negotiate an outcome. So the Australian Open has actually said, we're prepared to sit down and negotiate with you, where the others have not.
Do you think the other Grand Slams will follow suit?
Look, I'm not sure. At the moment, they're trying to have the case thrown out, saying that New York has no jurisdiction over them because we're talking about Wimbledon and the French Open, for instance, and also you've got some of the other tennis authorities that are not based in the US. However, because part of the circuit is based in the US and the players have to play there, and they win prize money there, the players are saying this is how come America can have jurisdiction. But I think they've also launched cases in the EU because they also follow anti-competitive behaviour very closely. And if you look at where other professional sports have gone, such as basketball, NFL in the USA, Major League Baseball, you're talking about players receiving somewhere in the vicinity of between 30 and 50% of revenue for the sport. Tennis is nowhere near that, and that's what these players are arguing for.
Tracy Holmes, thank you so much.
Thanks, Barbara.